Hi everybody, thanks for having me and thanks to the organizer for this very beautiful conference. Today I'd like to tell you about some recent work I did together with Daniela Riti regarding relational dynamics in emerging quantum gravity theories. Let me give a very brief outlook for this very brief talk. I will first introduce the notion of relational dynamics, which actually we have already heard about in the past talks. But I will also emphasize the importance of effective approaches to relational dynamics, especially in emergent quantum gravity theories. I will also clarify this terminology in a moment. Then I will show how to implement the notion of effective and emergent relational dynamics in the context of group free theory condensate cosmology. And finally, discuss the main results, and I will offer some conclusions and perspectives. Let me start by introducing relational dynamics and effective approaches to relational dynamics. So as many of us have already mentioned during this conference, the background independence of general relativity leads to this so-called problem of time, which in turn naturally leads to the interpretation of dynamics in general relativistic theories in a relational manner. So describing evolution of some physical and internal degrees of freedom with respect to other physical and internal degrees of freedom. Now, while this is quite actually well understood from the classical perspective, for instance, through the use of relational observables that we heard the last talk, the implementation of the relational strategy at the quantum level is complicated by some technical and conceptual difficulties. And this is especially true for emergent quantum gravity theories, whose fundamental degrees of freedom are only weakly related to space-time quantities. And we expect these space-time quantities to actually only emerge from these fundamental degrees of freedom when a continuum limit or some kind of coarse graining is taken. And with this coarse graining, one goes from this microscopic description of the theory in terms of fundamental pre-geometric entities to a macroscopic one in terms of collective observables and coarse-grained states, which possibly has also a proto-geometric interpretation. So this should clarify why the implementation of the relational strategy in the context of emergent quantum gravity theories gets another layer of difficulty. It is because the quantities that we would classically manipulate in order to recast their dynamics in a relational manner are now just the result of our coarse graining of some fundamental and pre-geometric degrees of freedom. And in this sense, effective approaches to relational dynamics may play an important role, especially if they are based on this macroscopic sector of the theory, because they are expected to bypass most of the conceptual and technical difficulties associated to the implementation of this relational strategy in the microscopic theory, while of course still being relevant for observative purposes. So let me clarify a little bit more what I mean here with effective relational dynamics in an emergent context. So the two basic principles, of course, are emergence and effectiveness. I've already talked about emergence as the fact that the relational dynamics should be formulated in terms of collective observables and states defined within the microscopic theory. So if you want to picture this statement, like in this figure here, and you have your quantum gravity theory possibly quantized in a clock neutral way, so you are in this right side of the diagram, you would like to define your emergent notion of effective relational dynamics here in this upper right quadrant. Then the second requirement would be the effectiveness, which has already been actually studied in past works in the literature. And in this sense, we could state it like the fact that the relational evolution should be intended to hold on average, and that the internal clock should have small quantum fluctuations. Now, let me be a little bit more concrete by considering a scalar field clock example, in which case emergence would mean that we should be able to identify a class of states which encode some form of collective behavior and emit a continuum or proto-geometric interpretation. But also we should be able to identify a set of collective observables whose expectation values on our states can be associated to geometric quantities, but also scalar field phase-based variables. But there's also another important quantity here, which is the number operator, which has no classical counterpart, of course, but it's still important to understand when we are reaching the emergent limit if it is associated to a large number of particles being involved. Then effectiveness could be stated in this context by requiring that With our choices of states and observables, there must exist a Hamiltonian such that the average evolution of the geometric observables with respect to the expectation value of the scalar field should be on average and at least locally generated by this Hamiltonian operator. And we also want to require that this Hamiltonian operator has its moments to coincide with those of pi, which means that we are, in a sense, effectively and locally deparametrizing. Now, we also want small quantum fluctuations of the clock variable, and we can state this by requiring that the relative variance of the clock itself should be much smaller than one, and that the characteristic n to the minus one behavior, so that actually in the large n limit, all the relative moments are suppressed. So let me show you now how to implement these general guidelines in the case of group field theory cosmology. So first, let me introduce very briefly group field theories, which are theories of a field defined on d-copies of a group manifold, whose action is typically characterized by non-local and combinatorial interactions. Now, for simplicial models, this action can be obtained by comparison of the perturbative expansion of the partition function around the Fock vacuum with lattice gravity party integral. Then the other two relevant quantities here are d, which are the dimensions of the space-time to be. So d equal to 4 will be equal to 4 from now on. And g, which is typically the local gauge group of gravity, so SL2C, or for most practical applications, as we will do here, we'll choose a SU2 subgroup of SL2C. And if one also imposes another condition on the fundamental fields, the one particle inverse space of the theory can be seen as an open spin network space, allowing to connect these theories to canonical approaches like to quantum gravity. And in this sense, one can interpret group field theories as quantum field theories of building blocks of space, and interpret them therefore as emergent quantum gravity theories, and naturally also clock neutral theory. So if we want now to focus on cosmological applications, the first step would be the identification of a set of states which could be interpreted in terms of continuous and homogeneous three geometries. So at the group field theory level, these last two qualities could be translated by requiring that our states contain an infinite superposition of degrees of freedom, and they show some kind of quantum coherence, so that the same geometric data are actually associated to each quantum. And for instance, these coherent states here satisfy both these requirements. These will be the objects that we'll be working with from now on. So if we want to implement the scalar field clock example that I've given before, let me first introduce scalar field clock. We can do so by discretizing it on the simplicial structures of the theory, which in practice means that the scalar field, that group field theory field operator that generates these simplicial structures gets an additional real variable to its domain. And so these states get modified in this way, where there's also an integral over chi here. And we basically have all the necessary ingredients to follow the steps that I've given before. The first was the identification of a set of collective states, which has an interpretation in terms of continuum geometries. And we already have them. These are these Fourier states that I've introduced before. And then we wanted to identify a set of observables which had geometric and which could be associated to geometric quantities and scalar field quantities. For instance, this is the scalar field momentum, and this is the extensive scalar field operator, not to be confused with the intensive one that I will be introducing in a moment. Then we can introduce geometric variables. In the case of homogeneous and isotropic geometries, we could consider, for instance, the volume operator that would be enough to capture the relevant physics. This would be a second quantized version of the volume operator whose matrix elements can be deduced, for instance, from quantum gravity. And then the non-trivial part at this point is to introduce a notion of effective relationality. And we can do so by restricting to a specific set of states and by taking inspiration from the classical setting, where the easiest way to rewrite geometric evolution in a relational manner would be to decompose the space-time interfoliation made of constant scalar field time leaves. So the idea would be to reproduce at the quantum level this constant scalar field time leaves, and we can do so by considering chi-localized condensate states. So we assume that the condensate wave function sigma factorizes into a peaking function and into a reduced wave function. Now the peaking function is fixed, and here we've chosen a Gaussian, which is peaked around chi-zero, which is the labor of our quantum leaf, while epsilon might being is the parameter that localize around this leaf label, and we assume it to be much smaller than one, but not zero, because otherwise we would have arbitrary large quantum fluctuations on the scalar field momentum. And with this choice of states and of the observables that I've mentioned before, one can actually check that we meet all the requirements that we have outlined before, because one can show that the evolution with respect to the leaf label chi zero has a very clear physical interpretation, because it's the expectation value of the intrinsic scalar field operator, and that there exists an Hamiltonian generating the average evolution for the geometric observables, in this case, the volume operator, such that when we are in the large n limit, its expectation value coincides with those of pi, and the relative variances of all the clock variables, including pi and h, they're much smaller than one, and they behave as n to the minus one. So there is indeed a regime in which the evolution with respect to chi zero has an interpretation in terms of an effective relation of evolution. So it's worth studying the evolution of the volume with respect to chi zero, and I will get there in a moment. But first I want to say a few words about how the reduced wave function, which is dynamically determined, is determined here. So we have done so by imposing average quantum equations of motion, and this is in the same spirit of requiring only average relational evolution to hold. And we also have assumed isotropy, negligible interactions, and the fact that epsilon is much smaller than one. So I call this the good slice approximation. And one then finds equations for the reduced wave function sigma tilde, where J here is a spin label, and especially equations for the modulus and the phase rho and theta of the reduced wave function. Now the modulus is especially important because it controls the total number of particles, and therefore the emergent limit and any extensive quantity like the volume itself. So we can find evolution equations for the volume, where mu j here is fixed by the parameters of our coherent peak state and by the group field theory model, while qj and dj are integration constants. And there are two regimes that are worth mentioning about this evolution. One is the regime of very large rho j's, which can be seen to be the regime of late times, late relational times, which in turn coincide with the regime, with the emergent regime, because it controls n. And one can show that in this regime, if mu j squared is mildly dependent on j, or one of the j is dominating, these evolution equations match the Friedmann equations for the flat space. And on top of that, one can show that quantum fluctuations on clock and geometric variables are all very much suppressed, meaning that this regime is not only the emergent regime, but we are also hitting the classical regime, and that the effective framework that we have defined actually matches with the classical one provided by general relativity. Now, there's another interesting regime, actually, because one can show that if at least one of the qj is different from zero, one of the ej is negative, the volume, the average volume actually bounces with a non-zero value, meaning that the singularity is solved on average. But this result could of course be spoiled by quantum effects on both geometric and clock variables. Because for instance, if quantum fluctuations on the clock, on the volume are very large, then we can't trust anymore the expectation value of the volume to capture all the relevant physics. Or on the other hand, if the fluctuations on the clock are very large, then we cannot trust anymore the relational framework that we have built. Of course, both these things could happen at the same time, but it's worth mentioning that there's a fairly wide range of parameters and of initial conditions for which this singularity resolution is purely physical and relational. So let me conclude by summing up and giving some perspectives. So what we have done here is to outline the scheme to define an effective notion of relational dynamics for emergent quantum gravity theories. And we realized this framework in the case of Loop field theory condensate cosmology, where we have studied the evolution of the volume operator. And we have found a robust classical limit and a possible singularity resolution depending on the values on the initial conditions, which in this case control also the importance of quantum fluctuations. So in this sense, we have also emphasized the interplay between quantum effects, emergence, and relationality. Of course, there are many ways in which this framework could be extended. We have listed some of them here, and we are already working on most of them, but I'm sure I missed some. So yeah, this is what I wanted to tell you. Thanks for your attention.